New to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is your place for honest answers.
Naturally Savvy.
With registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky.
And health journalist
Lisa Davis.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis with Andrea Donsky. There are so many people who still don't understand why gluten-free foods are important. If I hear one more person say it's a fad, I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah. Right, Andrea? I mean, I'm sure you must hear that because I know you're gluten-free. It's very aggravating.
I am.
Yeah. So I think it's important. We're talking about this, and we've got a great person with us today who wrote a fabulous book. Her name is Jet Wydick, and she joins us now. She also, by the way, before I bring you in, you are the author and poet behind the popular Gluten-Free Sage blog. You're a wellness expert and advocates for celiac disease. The book today we're talking about is Gluten-Free Soul Pilot. All right. Now, Jet, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Nice to meet both of you. I agree with what your intro said about gluten for sure.
Oh, good. Well, you know, when we read your book, in the introduction, you talk about having these issues and you're Italian and you're eating this pasta and you're like, how can a dinner so delicious make a person feel so tired that they can hardly stand? So take us back to that time and what was going on with you and when you discovered the celiac.
It started after the birth of my first child, which was 2 years ago, he was born. So when I was like, just, you know, young working nurse, I got my bachelor's in nursing and I worked right after I had my kids, I went right back to work. So I had a really fast paced schedule and we ate a lot of pasta, little kids eat pasta, macaroni and cheese is a big thing. And I guess I had upped my pasta game and I just started to get really sick and lose a lot of weight. And I was really anemic. And when I would go to the doctor, nobody could ever diagnose it. It took years to figure out what it was.
Wow.
That's crazy. That must have been frustrating.
Oh, yeah. For me, I know that. This is Andrea. I mean, I know for me, I couldn't eat. If I would eat a sandwich at lunch, I literally would be falling asleep at my desk or have like cloudy head. I could not. And I'm not celiac. Although I am definitely gluten intolerant. And I even was tested recently, Jet, in that genetically, I had genetic testing showing me that I can't digest starch. So I'm even beyond gluten free. I just can't even digest any type of starch. So it's so important that we look at what the reasons are for when we're not feeling well. So I'm happy that you were able to figure out what your issue was.
It was a process. I mean, unfortunately, back then, nobody was really diagnosing celiac. It wasn't on the forefront. It was like a little chapter in, you know, the GI section of doctors' books. They just were more focused on cancer and other problems. Ulcers were a big thing, but not celiac. So for someone to eat pasta and then, you know, feel horrible or eat sandwiches and feel horrible was like nobody would really think that was a thing. They just didn't think that was an illness until you're on death's door. And that's what happened to me. Eventually, I just became so anemic that they had to, you know, really do an exploratory surgery to find out what's wrong with me. And when they went to do the surgery, they couldn't do it because I was so anemic. So then they did the small bowel biopsy, which is the surefire test to find out if you have celiac, that and the blood test that they give. So I'm curious for you, did you go gluten-free for a long time and then go get tested for it?
Yeah. So, yeah. And I know you need to be eating gluten in order to be tested. And I was. I had gone gluten-free for probably, I don't know, so many years. I just literally just stopped eating it once. It was after my second child that I realized that I always knew that I had food sensitivities since I'm young. I couldn't eat dairy and they always had, you know, different issues. But I went back to school to become a nutritionist and realized, wait a second, what I'm eating is affecting how I feel. I started to do the elimination diet and keep a food journal. And I realized that gluten was playing a huge role. And I was gluten-free for many, many years. I just went grain-free probably about a year ago, but I was gluten-free for all those years.
I really made a big difference. It made a huge difference in my life when I went grain-free. I just couldn't believe the difference. I will eat corn flour. That's like the only flour that doesn't bother me particularly. But I agree with the food journal because the elimination diet is key. Everybody's different. Celiac affects everyone different. Gluten manifests itself in all kinds of ways. And some people get rashes. Some people get headaches. Some people get stomach aches. It's fascinating when you really try to figure out, like when people present to a physician, you know, oh, I'm getting headaches all the time. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to go see a neurologist, right? That's the first thing you're going to do. Well, you don't have a brain tumor. So, but you know, the headaches some people are from food.
It's interesting. Yes, exactly. My friend, his wife and his daughter are celiac, and the way they present is anger, like mental health issues. Like, for example, his son will get violent. Yeah, his son will get like, you know, it totally presents in a completely not digestive, but rather, I mean, everything's connected to the gut, but it presents through behavior.
Wow, that is
really interesting.
I don't heard anybody really talk about that, but I know in children, my boys were not affected by gluten mentally, but one of my kids got stomach aches as a little kid, way before I ever got diagnosed. And then once I was diagnosed, he stopped eating gluten and then, you know, got so healthy, which was great. But I know there are children that they diagnose often with like attention deficit disorder, and it's diet related, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's why it's so important that are aware of this. I have a ton of food sensitivities myself, so I understand. I want to jump into your book because I was really impressed. Chapter one, you have your flight plan. What does it take to take off, to head toward and arrive at pure wellness? And I love how you have this list, these core values, abundance, acceptance, accountability, contribution, creativity, curiosity, all the way A through Z or A through W.
I agree.
And you write, determine your personal core values from the list below. Choose and write up to 30 core values that resonate with you. Why do you ask folks to do this?
I think most people don't know where to start. They just want to feel good. They want to wake up every day and they want to feel the same every day. They want to be well. Health is the golden ticket. You could have a beautiful home. You can have wonderful travel. But if you are not well, nothing matters. Mm-hmm. So what do you want? What are your core values? And for me, health is the number one. Fun. I want to have fun. I want work that inspires me. I want happiness. You know, I want to live with humility. These are the things for me that I want to be able to be out in nature. These are the things that make my life great. And once you will figure that out, and then you have to figure out what things you do every day to achieve this goal and to be well. And for me, it was wake up early, have quiet time in the morning, fill my water bottles, make a pot of coffee, exercise for at least 7 to 10 minutes. In the evening, I go for a walk, and then all day I only eat foods that make me well. It's such a game changer to just go, you know what, I don't want that. I'm not eating that. I'd rather not eat something than eat something that's going to make me feel bad. So I'll have 2 eggs for breakfast. I'll have an apple and peanut butter for a snack. If I snack, tuna salad in a lettuce wrap or chicken, vegetables in a lettuce wrap for lunch. And, either like spaghetti squash or zucchini or asparagus for dinner with protein. And I've been doing it for a while, and it's worked for me. And
it
really
fabulous.
Was a battle because, it's a battle when you don't know what to eat because you're like, what? The gluten-free replacement is where you go when you get diagnosed with gluten intolerance or celiac. And those grains, the potato starch and the tapioca flour, all that stuff, that you try to find the perfect English muffin or whatever you're looking for, all that stuff made me feel bad. So I had to think, what is it that's going to make me better? And you know, the paleo diet altered to fit my lifestyle is how I got well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't stick to it completely because I do. You make it your own. You get your journal out and you write your core values down. You write what foods make you feel well, and you get some kind of exercise plan in place. And you be your own personal trainer. You be your own, your home can be your exercise. You know, the thing that's the hardest for young moms or working full-time or women with families especially or without is just finding that time to work out. And if you just can walk every night, you dance in your kitchen for 7 minutes, get some 5 or 10 pound weights and do that every day for little increments of time. When you stick with that program, it just works.
Well, you know, I love what you've done because I was doing great with my paleo and I was feeling great. And then lately I've just kind of fallen off a little bit. And I mean, I still eat a really clean diet compared to most people. Yeah, but I've just been, I don't know. So when I read this, I thought, oh my gosh, I totally have to do this. So once you pick those, you pick the things and you group all the similar values together from the list, Then you choose one word within each column that represents the essence of each group of values. So I love this. So here's an example. Live with independence. Seek opportunities for creativity. Embrace fun. Multiply happiness. Promote health. So what you were saying, too, is now when I'm thinking about, well, what do I want? My most important thing is I want to feel good and be active. How am I going to do that? Well, if I reach for, you know, a piece of bread, which I usually don't eat, I'm not going to feel good and be active. So that's why I love like these concrete things that you have in your book that you can put into action and make these changes. So I just think it's brilliant.
And what winds up happening is once you eat the right foods and drink enough water, well, I think water's key too. And no sugar. All those things really make you feel well. And then when you feel well, then you're doing all the things you love. Like for me, it was my poetry books. That was the first thing I did. So I got well, started writing my poetry books. And then I was like, God, I need to tell people how to navigate this gluten-free diet because I was able to, my whole life changed. I was able to hike the hikes I couldn't hike before. I had the strength to do all the things I wanted to do on all my trips I took. So I think you just have to find your niche. You have to find the things, find your personal core values and follow them and aim for them. And you know, on Thanksgiving Day, when you're at the buffet line and if someone's asking you, you know, why aren't you having a glass of wine? Or like, why are you not eating that? What's wrong? You know, like, and they question your what you're doing. You're just going to have to have like a quick answer or basically just ignore it or whatever you want to do to handle it your way with your relatives or your friends to stay well and just adopt that every single day. I'm sorry. You don't have to say, I'm not having wine. You can say, I made a decision to not drink wine. It just makes me feel bad the next day. And I want to be able to work out when I wake up. So I'm not having any.
Yep.
You don't owe anybody any explanation but yourself. But if you start doing things because you want to feel a certain way, you'll achieve it. It works.
Yes.
No, and I love that you said that. It's because the key is exactly like I find we make up excuses so that we placate others as opposed to saying, you know what? It doesn't work for me. You like it? Great. And the older we get, right, Lisa? The older we get, we're like, you don't like it? Oh, well, okay.
Right.
Right?
Like, and you're not hurting anybody.
Right. No, never. You're not hurting anybody. In fact, you're just helping yourself because, you know, it's enough that you're trying to, because it can make you feel bad too, though, sometimes, right? So it's a matter of being confident with what, you know, why you're doing certain things. So, and the key is self-care, taking care of ourselves, of course, never hurting anybody else, but taking care of ourselves and doing what's right for us. So Jet, let's talk a little bit about some gluten-free options. You know, what are some of the things in your book that, you know, some recipes that you talk about? So if people are listening and they've been thinking about going gluten-free or paleo, what are some things that, you know, that would be a good introduction for them to say, okay, here's something to start with. Here's a good swap you can do.
Okay. So instead of oatmeal for breakfast or cereal, I would have two eggs and there's some really good chicken sausage or pork sausage for breakfast works great. You will get an energy buzz from not having the carbs drag you down. And then for lunch, salad with chicken, any kind of, like even just like five shrimp and an apple or a lot of times I have zucchini and a portobello or a sweet onion in a peach or something like that. And I would just feel great from that. So my recipes in my book, you know, they range from, Italian, like spaghetti squash, where I put meat sauce on top of that or lamb chops, I think are a great thing to go to. Soup is amazing. So everything in your house, soup, look in your freezer. Mm-hmm. You have some frozen peas in your fridge. You have an onion. You have carrots. And you put,
yeah, me too.
That you can live off of celery and carrots and chicken and sweet onion for like, you know, for 2 days. It's just almost like medicine to me, really healthy food. And it's easy to make. And if you need to like add a little zip to it, you know, you could add a little polenta and it thickens it. And that works well for me. I make meatballs, which is ground chuck, a little bit of cornmeal, or you could use gluten-free breadcrumbs if you can find one that work for you. A little bit of garlic, a little bit of sweet onion, an egg and you make meatballs, and then you make your own tomato sauce, or you can use certain jar sauces are good. They don't have sugar in them. I like Trader Joe's marinara. I think it's great. If you, are you there? I apologize.
Oh, yeah, we lost you for a second. Oh, that's okay.
I'm so sorry. If you make, you know, like if you just don't have a lot of time, you know, meatballs freeze well too. So you make a whole bunch in your freezer, you're good to go. The cauliflower pizza crust has some stuff in it sometimes that I don't like. But if you're looking for pizza, you're jonesing for that, then, you know, get a pizza crust and put all the good stuff on top. But lettuce wraps work great. Mussels. Like a nice fillet, some kind of like grouper or
mussels.
Snapper on a vegetable. Those are the kinds of things that I eat, and it's taken such good care of me.
Even avocado, anything avocado related, good fats, olives, anything, you know, coconut oil, like you want to make sure you get some good fats in there too, which, you know, one of the things, Jen, I don't know if you found this, but when I started eliminating carbohydrates or going gluten-free, if I didn't get enough fat in my diet, I actually was hungry all the time. So that's a little trick for those of you who are trying. Yeah. So fats are really important. So I found that really helped me as a tip that if you are, you know, eliminating your carbs and you feel like you're not getting satiated, then just add more fat, good fats, you know, avocado and add coconut oil and add olives and anything, you know, like that, then olive oil, that'll help to satiate you, you know. So
and there's no reason
really
to
important.
Be hungry. Absolutely no
right.
reason. A peanut butter with no sugar in it is great on an apple. You know, there's just a lot of different things that you can do. Chicken thighs are amazing. I love that.
Amazing.
Spinach,
sauteed. Yummy.
Yeah, olive oil.
You know,
my kids go to.
Oh, good quality olive oil is the best, and EVOO. You know, one of the things my kids used to always make fun of me, which is now so on trend, although I don't know if I've seen it in a cookbook yet, but maybe it's, you know, maybe tell me, Jen, if you came across this. So I used to always make, I would take a sheet of nori and I would, you know, make myself some salmon with some mayo, I love the avocado mayo. And I would put it inside the nori with some, you know, cut up celery, and I would wrap it and eat it like a sandwich. And my kids would make fun of me and my husband to no end. They'd be like, oh, you can't open a restaurant. Look at what you're, you know, no one's going to eat what you're eating. I'm like, I was so ahead of my time with eating paleo. Let me tell you, that was my wrap, the nori. It was a nori salmon wrap, and it's so yummy. So
beautiful.
What I love about going gluten-free too is, and by the way, feel free to use that in your next cookbook with a credit to me. I have no problem with that. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. I'll give it a shot.
My big recipe creation. No, it's, and let me tell you, it is so yummy. But, you know, what's nice about going gluten-free too is that you can become very creative. And I think that's the key, right? It's
not
thinking outside of the box and not only going with, you know, the bread, the sandwich. Now you can have sandwiches, like you said, there's lettuce wraps, or you can do, you know, peanut butter on celery. Like there's other things. And in, you know, the nice thing about living in the United States is there's so much choice. Like nowadays you can get, you know, almond flour tortillas and cashew tortillas. Like you don't have to resort to the carbohydrates if you choose not to have them.
Exactly. You can make even a corn tortilla. Has two ingredients in it if you're just wanting something that to wrap something in, but you don't want gluten. So that's the route for, you know, gluten. If you want to go more paleo, then you can do the lettuce wrap or like even cucumber or peppers. So you cut a pepper in half and you make it like a sandwich and you fill it. I've seen so many times in recipes where people do that, and I've done it, where you use each end of the pepper as a, you know, side of your sandwich with ham or, you know, avocado inside it. And it's delicious.
Oh, that sounds good.
Or zucchini for pizza.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's really good, too. Now, talk to us about Soul Pilot in terms of the name. And I like in the book you have the analogies to flight. How did that come to you?
Well, I really needed help navigating the gluten-free diet because I went from being really thin to going, you know, just full out, getting a bread maker, buying every Whole Foods gluten-free replacement I could think of that would, you know, make my diet back to the way it used to be with bagels or the best gluten-free bread ever or whatever it was. And I just gained weight so rapidly and felt so bad that I wanted to navigate. So that's where the Soul Pilot came in. And also, let your soul be your pilot. Like, how do you want to feel every single day? What are your core values? And how do you want to make that happen? And, you know, you just have to go through the list and navigate it is the only word I can really think of.
Right.
You know, for your very own, make it your own. That's the secret right there. And I worked with a wonderful person, Kristen Alden. She is just fantastic. We did gluten-free sage together, and then she was the designer for my books, my first three books that I wrote, Sage Word, Sage Spirit, and White Wild Indigo. And we all along were navigating through glutenfreesage.com. We were navigating the gluten-free diet, and people kept telling us, you should turn it into a book. You should turn it into a book. And Kristen is an amazing writer, researcher, artist. She took all the photos in the book. And, you know, it's not just, it's a self-care cookbook accompanied by poems, original recipes, all kinds of Italian dishes that I grew up eating, all good for the gluten-free diet, or anybody, you know, anybody that just wants to feel good every day. And in the book too, you know, Kristen and I together have well-researched principles, soulful strategies for wellness, and basically you get to take control of your mind's autopilot and get well and, you know, feel good every day. I really can't stress that enough. And sleep and water and proper diet, and with all of those things in place, then you'll be able to do the things you love, like hike every day, or at least just go for a walk down your street, do your art.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Just, so I used to paint, or I used to be, you know, I used to write poems, or I can't tell you how many people tell me I have a folder of poems in my desk, but I just haven't done anything with it. But if you decide, you know, you just want to, you know, let your freak fly or let your soul fly or whatever, you'll be able to once you feel well. You really will. It's awesome.
It is. And I love this in the book. You have, I just want to read this quick poem. Core values as your takeoff place, pure wellness at your own pace, slow and steady. It's not a race. Love you as you and that pretty face. Keep the smile, walk the mile. Don't stop. It's worth the while. That's lovely,
That's awesome.
Jet. I love that.
Thank
yeah.
You.
And before we let Thank you go, you. Quickly tell us a little bit about your poetry books.
Well, I was always sort of a poet my whole life, but I just kind of like kept it under wraps and became a nurse, got my bachelor's in nursing, and for practical reasons, just was working so hard to, you know, raise a family and take care of my children. My boys are everything to me. They're 32 and 28 now, but I spent a lot of years working on that. And then when I finally had a chance to do some things that I loved, I started writing poems. And I wrote my very first book was Sage Words, and you can see it on my website, jetwidick.com, which is JETWIDICK.com. And the second book was Sage Spirit, and Kimberly Keller Castell was the illustrator for those books. I had a very specific thing I wanted. I told Kristen, you know, she's the designer for the books, and I said, I've used my poems. I want this kind of art. Do you know anybody? And she and Kimberly, the three of us worked together for 2 years on two books without never meeting each other.
Wow.
Then we finally met up in California. And you can see on my website the day that we met, which was just magic.
Nice.
And then the third book I did with Annie Moore and Kristen designed that. And Annie Moore is the illustrator, and that's called White Wild Indigo. And those are my three poetry books, but all along I was always doing the gluten-free sage because I wanted to help people. With my nursing background and my celiac background, I just felt like there weren't really, you know, really good answers out there for navigating the gluten-free diet to achieve pure wellness, not just get through it. We want to feel good every single day. It's like there's no time to waste. There's no days to waste. You don't want to go, oh, I can't do this because I don't feel good. You just don't, you know, and everybody that the celiac people that walked around with silent celiac that like me, or the people like you that ate a sandwich and didn't know what it was that was making them feel bad. It's just not a way to live. And we all, you know, people go for those old, you know, standbys, and they think that they have to eat certain foods, and what you should eat are foods that, you know, make you well. So if you have a great day when you wake up and have two eggs and coffee,
tuna salad and a lettuce wrap, apple with peanut butter later that day, and salmon and avocado and asparagus for dinner, and you feel great, and you go to bed and you wake up and your hands aren't swollen and your joints don't hurt, you're like, I'm going to do that again. And you do it again,
right.
Maybe, you know, little tweaks and keep your house stocked with healthy things so you don't go off that diet. And the discipline for it, like, you know how you said sometimes you go off of it? Well, the discipline for
right.
it, you want to feel good every day. And
exactly.
that's the secret. I would have to say, if you want to know how do you get that, it's that, you know, I don't want to take a chance. I don't want to feel bad ever.
Yeah, that's true. That is true, Jet. You are so right. It's such great advice. Yeah, the time
thank
goes
you,
by so
Jet.
Quickly. You're fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the show, Jet. And where can people find your book if they want to purchase it?
It's on Amazon.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you for being on our show. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis, and you're listening to Naturally Savvy Radio. And we want to give a big shout out to Bigelow Tea for being our sponsor this month, because without Bigelow Tea, we wouldn't have Naturally Savvy Radio. So thank you, Bigelow Tea, and for everything that you do and all the support that you give us. Please make sure that you like us on social media at Naturally Savvy, at Andrea Donsky, at Health Media Gal 1, and at Radio MD. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay well.